stepping down from glory to Bethlehem, from the manger to a man, from teaching and healing to raising the dead, from shouts of Hosanna to carrying the cross, from Calvary to a borrowed tomb, from Friday's grave to Sunday's sunrise surprise, He's alive. And it all happened, hashtag, as He said. Matthew chapter 27 says that the day after Jesus was crucified and buried and the stone was rolled in front of the tomb, the chief priests and the Pharisees went back to Pilate and they said in verse 63, "Sir, we remember that while He was alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.'" Well, that was a good thing to remember. So they got Pilate's permission to make the tomb secure. Posted a guard, sealed the tomb with the governor's seal. And in spite of that, in Matthew 28, verse 6, the angel told the women, "I know you look for Jesus who was here, but He's not here now." Those Pharisees remembered that in 3 days He said He'd rise again. Well, guess what? The angel said He has risen, just as He said. And now we're living with expectations of glorious celebration when He steps down from glory again to finish the story. And that too will happen, hashtag, as He said. As a thief in the night, when you least expect it. You know when I least expect it to happen? This morning during this sermon, so you better get ready. When I was growing up, we heard a lot, a man is only as good as what? His word. A man is only as good as his word. Let me tell you this morning, Jesus' word is as good as it gets. If Jesus says it, it will be, hashtag, as He said. As embarrassing as it is, I don't think I'll ever forget the time years ago when Stephen was young. That's our youngest son. We had a couple over to our home to talk to them about joining the church. We had just had dinner and had moved into the more comfortable seating of our living room. As the evening went on, I told Stephen he needed to get ready for bed. And he just sat there. Any other parents have that happen to you? Just me, I'm the only bad parent in here. Barbie and I continued our conversation with the couple for a bit, and then I told Stephen again to get ready for bed, and I added my daddy tone, "Now or else." The man looked at Stephen and kind of laughed as he said, "Wow, Stephen, you better get going." And Stephen said, "Nah, he doesn't mean it. He says that all the time." What can I say? The boy had to die. Let me just say, Stephen and I both learned a valuable lesson that night. Not much longer after that incident, Stephen felt the urge to act up in church. You ever had a kid do that? Barbie told him to settle down or else. But he didn't. When Barbie had had enough, she grabbed him by the wrist, pulled him out of the pew, which, like here, we sat on the front pew because nobody wants that seat. She pulled him up out of the pew, and the church we were in was one of the old-fashioned churches that had two rows of pews that went on forever. She yanked him up out of the pew by the wrist and dragged him down that center aisle toward the exit doors, And all the way down the aisle, you could hear him begging, "Please, Mama, don't beat me. Don't beat me, Mama." A man or a woman really is only as good as their word. Well, now it's Easter, and everything has happened. Hashtag, as he said. Now, for our guests and first-time folks with us today, we're in a series called Hashtag Jesus, the Impact of Jesus. We started the series off several weeks ago with an explanation of what the hashtag means today and how it's used and its purpose. Its purpose of getting more followers and to find something quickly. And today, our message is hashtag, as he said. Everything has happened, as he said. But the interesting thing about his life and even Easter is that none of it was about Jesus. His miraculous birth, his mesmerizing teachings, his compassionate healings, his beatings, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, and even his resurrection, none of it was about him. He was not trying to set some kind of records that would never be broken. He did not come out of the grave dancing around saying, "I am the greatest." Nor did he come out of the grave with his hands raised and go, "Ta-da!" When he took the sting away from death, when he took the victory away from the grave, he was not trying to show the world his power over all the earth. He was showing the depth and the height and the width and the strength of his love and grace for us. His stripes were for our healing. His blood was shed for our forgiveness. His death was the payment for the penalty of our sin. His resurrection was for our victory over Satan and the grave. No, we didn't deserve it. No, we did not, and we cannot earn it. It's His grace given to us because God loves you and me that much. I've talked to many people over the years who have gone to their friends and shared their story of sin. Our freedom groups provide a very safe place for that to build and to come to a point where you can share that story. But I've often asked them, why? Why did you share your sin story with your friends? Why did you confide in them? And they usually say, because they don't judge me. They accept me for who I am. I felt mercy and grace and love in spite of my story. And then I have to ask them, and I will ask you this morning, do you think our God has less mercy than your friends? Do you think your friends have more grace than our God? Do you think your friends love you more than God? That's hashtag not possible. Look at the cross again. That's God's love poured out for you. Look at the empty tomb again. That's God's power for you to begin again. To begin again in victory over your sin story. Easter says God loves you. God forgives you. Let's begin again. Let me remind you of something else Jesus said. And keep in mind, it is, as always, hashtag, as he said. Turn with me to John chapter 19. By this time in John's account, Jesus has been mocked and humiliated and insulted. He has been beaten, he has been scourged, and he has been crucified. He is hanging on the cross with blood pouring from every vein in his body. He has forced out several sentences from the cross through excruciating pain. Now look with me beginning at verse 28. John 19, verse 28. Knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The Scripture had been fulfilled. Everything was hashtag as he said. And Jesus said, "It is finished." You know what that was? That was a shout of victory. It was a victory won for us. Our victory. Jesus said, "It is done. It is completed. It is concluded. It is finished," as He said. There is nothing left for you or me to do. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. And now, as we have said through this whole series, you are simply left with a choice. You can hashtag reject Jesus, or you can hashtag accept Jesus. If you will accept Him and what He has done for you, then hear Peter's instructions to those who believe. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off." Will you accept that Jesus paid it all for you? Will you accept that all of this was and still is enough? Enough to forgive your sins? Enough to make you right with our Heavenly Father again? Enough to take all your guilt and shame? Enough to give you freedom from Satan's power? Enough to give you abundant life now and eternal life hereafter in a place especially prepared for those who love Him? Or will you reject everything He has done for you and say, "No thanks, I'd rather do it myself"? I want to wrap up Easter Sunday's message by looking at one more man. And I want you to let us show you one more time, one more way, Jesus really is enough.
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? Let's This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? Who do you want, Barabbas? Yeah, give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles. And he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, or you have set me free. No. I don't see any of that in Barabbas. And God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of the Heavenly Father. When I look at the story, I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he probably would have never acknowledged the free gift? Yeah, but I love Barabbas. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his Son for Barabbas, even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the gall, the audacity of believers to think, I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I'm going to work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin? Feel like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't! You're no match for the powers of hell and the urges of sin. You will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one, and he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, no, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. You Jesus seems to look at me and say, "No, son, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No!" God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sins, son. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed. Or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sin, son. Okay. And I give him my sin. Let's stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, "Go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price." Where did we get off thinking that we were going to set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If His blood is sufficient for your salvation, His blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough!
Father God, I thank you that this morning
we see the
there are many here who get it. Many here who have accepted that Jesus really is enough. And consequently, we do wait in anticipation for that day of glorious celebration when He comes again to finish the story. But there are also some here today who want to believe it, who want to believe that it's true, who want to believe that it can be that simple, who want to believe that there is a God whose love is that scandalous. My prayer for them would be this morning that your Spirit would push us over the edge, that we would say, "Okay, I accept." And there are those, Father, in our hearts, perhaps members of our families, our working friends, our social circles, that we long to see have a closer and a deeper relationship with you. I pray that somehow you would use us or someone around us to reach them with a message that will help them believe Jesus is enough. He wants us to bring it all of our shame, all of our guilt, all of our pain, all of it, and lay it at your feet. And as we look up, we'll see the cross is empty. as we look around, we'll see the tomb is empty. But we'll find that our lives are full of the promises of your love and your grace and your mercy and your coming again. I love the old hymn that says, Jesus loves even me. Father, impress that thought upon all of us this morning. No matter who we are, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, we are here today. And we're having one of those collision moments with you. Help us to leave this place today having accepted all that you've done for us. Let us give our life to you in repentance. Let us follow you in Christian baptism and wash our sin away and rise to walk a new life, knowing we'll not do so alone. We will have your Holy Spirit to live within us and guide us and direct us. We'll have your family. For some, that's what they need now, is that church family. They just wrap their arms around them and say, hey, welcome to this big family of sinners and big family of people who still mess up. We're not perfect. You're still working on us. And we are so thankful. And while you work, we anticipate that great celebration. My prayer is you will come and finish the story. In Jesus' name, amen.